Christians these days, or I don't even know if I could call them Christian, but they say they believe in God and that He does exist, but they just don't care. They don't want to make the commitment to show it in actions. And I think that is ignorance, and I was wondering, is ignorance a sin?
First, I think we need to define what ignorance is, because I heard that it's the meaning of ignorance is not really same meaning as ignore.
Mm-hmm. Ignorance is lack of knowledge or being unaware.
Mm. Yes, so somebody who does not know. I was just thinking about this. I just thought about the root word of ignorance, and it seems like it's ignore. But then when I thought about it, the word G-N-O, oftentimes it's used to mean to know. That's where you get words like Gnosticism. And I guess the I before it means that it is not knowing. So mm-hmm. somebody who does not know, somebody who is not in the know, is what ignorance mm-hmm. is.
Yeah, so I personally believe that I kind of agree with you, because mm-hmm. I think not knowing itself is not a sin, but not wanting to know, mm-hmm. I think that can be a sin. Like, you know, if like somebody comes up to you and then say, oh, would you like to know what's the difference between, like, you know, never mind. Would you like to know about, like, you know, this Bible study, you know, or something? Mm-hmm. And do you know that God is there or something? And then if you say, no, I don't want to know about God because I'm an atheist, you know, you don't even know what's the full religion of the, you know, like Christianity. But first you closing down, that's like missing an opportunity, missing a chance. I think not purposely for doing that, that could be a sin. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but then going back to the fact that, you know, ignorance is not a sin, is there any Bible text that we could think of to support the fact that if you don't know, then God doesn't hold you accountable?
Well, I don't know about Bible text, but I think it would be unfair for people who didn't know about God at all, because mm-hmm. there will be a lot of people, like, throughout the history who did not know about God at all, who died, mm-hmm. but if just because they didn't know, they go to hell, I think that's unfair. And God is a just and fair God, so I don't think God would do that.
But then what about the fact that if they may not know, but then will God allow sinners into heaven? I mean, how can he deal with it?
When it comes down to that, then it's based on, like, did they live a good moral life? Did they... you know, we, even though you're not Christian, you know what is good and what is bad. We know, like, being nice is good and then killing someone is bad. I think everyone knows that. That's just a moral standard. Mm-hmm. And I think if they lived up to that, then it should be okay.
Okay. We are known as a people of the Bible. Mm-hmm. So if we want to prove from the Bible, I just want to show one quick text. Acts chapter 17, the context that's taking place is Paul is going up to the Athens believers, and he sees that these people are worshiping this unknown God. And he goes upon Mars Hills, and Acts chapter 17.
Oh, wow. Says the word. Hmm.
30?
Yes, verse 30. He says, at times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men, because we're all men everywhere to repent. So he's basically saying, yeah, when you didn't know about this Jesus, yeah, you were worshiping this unknown God, but then now that you know, now you are required to follow this law. Mm-hmm. And so he does appeal to us and say, hey, in times of ignorance, God winked at. So I think we can prove from the Bible that if you don't know, God can't hold that against you.
Mm-hmm. So a big controversial issue today among the Christian society is babies who do die, maybe like they were born with a heart disease or something and they just die before even knowing. Because of what Acts says, they will be in heaven.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, there are lots of people because of that. Especially long time ago in the Dark Ages, there were people who were dying left and right because they didn't have the sanitary conditions to give birth. And they didn't know if the baby was going to make it or not. Mm-hmm. So what would they do? The priest would come a lot of times and they would take water and they would sprinkle it upon the baby, sometimes even before it even came out, on the belly of the mother. And they would sprinkle it and say, oh, you know, praise God, now he has been baptized. If he should die, then he's going to be saved.
Sure.
But but I think that is not something that is very biblical. Especially in the South, a lot of people are Baptists, and as Baptists, people believe that you have to be able to discern what is right and wrong before you make the decision to baptism. And I'm inclined to agree with that as well. Mm-hmm. So infant baptism may not necessarily be something that is scriptural and biblical. Never really see that in the Bible. But I want to ask the question and raise up the issue of infants who die, babies who die. If they don't have to be baptized, then what happens to them?
Mm-hmm. I think because they do, like you said, they have to discern what is right or wrong to get baptized. I believe that, you know, I believe that also, like at some point that you have to know that what's really partaking upon Christ and what's really the meaning of the baptism to get baptized. I agree with that. But the babies, I don't know, because you don't remember when you're 1 year old, mm-hmm. you know? You don't remember mm-hmm. what your thoughts were. So I don't remember. Babies are very fascinating, I think. But I don't think they can discern what is right or wrong. They can't even speak. They're not developed. So I don't think they can, on the judgment day, they're going to be standing in front of Jesus, and then Jesus is going to be like, you did not know, but, you know, so you cannot enter into heaven. But neither can you go to hell, because you did not really commit any sin. So,
and that's where people came up with the idea of limbo. It's neither hell nor heaven. It's just somewhere in between, and you're just caught in the middle of that.
And that is not biblical.
Yeah, you don't see biblical limbo in the Bible.
Then I don't, for babies to go to heaven or hell, I forgot what I was going to say. Sorry. You guys could go on.
Okay,
yeah, I would like to turn to Scripture. Matthew chapter 2. verse 18. Matthew chapter 2, verse 18, the Bible says, in Ramah there was voice heard, lamentation, and weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. Mm. Now, if you ever read through the book of Matthew, Matthew, of course, was a Jew, and he's talking to the audience of Jews. The reason why he's doing this is because that's his audience, that's who his burden is, and he's talking about Jesus to Jews, and so he's trying to prove that, you know, Jesus is the promised Messiah. So all throughout the Gospel of Matthew, you'll hear him quote the Old Testament saying, it was fulfilled, this was fulfilled, this was fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And he quotes the Old Testament prophets to prove that. Now he says he's quoting a passage from Jeremiah, mm-hmm. and it says, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not, meaning they have died. You remember that when Jesus was born, Herod tried to kill Jesus by destroying all of the children under 2 years of age. And he quotes this passage to say that Rachel was weeping for her children. Mm-hmm. Now I want to turn back to the exact passage in Jeremiah, chapter 31. Verse 15, he quotes this exact passage, but I want to see if we can look at the very context of this verse. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rahel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. So he quotes this exact passage, and it goes on to say, thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears. For thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. So we don't have a direct passage where it says, stillborn babies and infants who die will go to heaven. But then we have a strong hint that seems to indicate to us that, hey, they will come again from the land of the enemy.
So don't weep over them. Because mm-hmm. I remember there was an atheist friend. I told her I was a Christian, and then she said, why are you? And then I asked her, you know, why are you atheist? You know, mm-hmm. you can see the world, and there are so many Christians and Christianity. Why don't you believe in Christianity? Why don't you try to open your heart? And what she said was that, look at the kids in the Africa. What's their purpose? They are born, they suffer for a few seconds, and they die. So what she was saying is that, you know, if there was a God, why do these terrible things happen? Mm. So, like, one thing that I could tell her was that, you know, this mm. passage, you know, God promised us, like, you don't have to weep or be sad about them because, you know, he will bring them back again. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think for the people who are wondering, like, for the babies, or why do my babies have to die, or why do these babies have to die, you know, mm-hmm. we can believe in God's mm-hmm. promise.
Mm-hmm. And in that, what I was going to say before is, Jesus did tell us, I can't remember where in the Bible, but he told us to be like babies, right?
Oh, be like a children? Child.
Be like a children, mm-hmm. where... Well, so I guess it's not babies, but like pure-minded as mm-hmm. children. So, I mean, I could see that if Jesus wants us to be like that, to go to heaven, I mean, that kind of says that they could go to heaven.
Okay.
They are
going to okay.
And I just want to go back to the actual term of ignorance now. Ignorance is not... It's not exactly not knowing anything, but it's lack of knowing, which means they know it, but not to the fullest extent. So it says, if you go in the dictionary, it says ignorance is a synonym of unaware. So, but I think it's hard to not be aware these days because there are so many signs in the world saying that, you know, it is end times and also that God does exist. There are a lot of suffering in the world, I agree, but also look at all the blessings that come in this world, too. Mm-hmm. And I found an article where you could kind of tie in not being aware and ignorance. And it was of a woman who got an $835 parking ticket. And what happened was she was at a baseball game for her son, and all the cars were parked at the grass. But so she was like, oh, I guess it's okay to park on the grass too. She parked on the grass, but she was not aware of all the signs that were around saying, please do not park on the grass. And she happened to be the unlucky one getting the ticket.
But there were other people who were parking on the grass.
Yeah, I don't know if they got tickets too, but this woman, $835. Anyway, so you know,
wow,
she didn't recognize the signs, but they weren't. It wasn't just one sign. It was
multiple signs,
mm-hmm. and if she just looked further across the block, she would have seen the sign. Mm-hmm. But she didn't.
It may have been that she may have seen the sign, but ignored it for this because everybody else is doing it.
Yeah.
A lot of times that's the case.
Yeah.
When we see other people doing the same thing, and even though the Bible may condemn this practice, they say, hey, it must be okay because everybody else is doing it.
And that's going in like Christian churches, you know?
I remember one time, this was like maybe a few weeks after I got my driver's license. And I was kind of going home, I was going home from my school, and it's kind of far away, so I was driving pretty fast, and I was tired, so I wanted to get home fast, so on the freeway, I was going pretty fast, but I wasn't aware that the police was behind me mm-hmm. and the whole time, so I thought, well, what is this car doing, because this car mm-hmm. was kind of close up to me, so I kind of speeded more and more to get more farther. And then, you know, not only that, there were cars in front of me and the side of me going the same miles per hour, so I was like, you know, this is fine. And then suddenly I hear the siren in the back of me. I was like, oh no. Then I thought, maybe he's just trying to get by. So I went to the right, I went on the other lane, he chases to the other lane. I was like, oh, okay, I get it. Then I you know, I got pulled over. And then he said, yes, it is embarrassing. And then he said, why are you going so fast? And I was like, oh, you know, I was going, everyone else was going this much too and mm-hmm. stuff. I thought it was okay. And he's like, you know that, you know, the miles per hour limit is 65. And he was telling me, you went way over. And then I got the speeding ticket. And I thought to myself, it really doesn't matter if everyone else is doing it. Mm-hmm. If you're the one who's caught, you're gonna pay for the consequences that you, mm-hmm. what you did.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, I have referred to this before. A lot of times, people make the excuse and say, "But that guy was going faster." It doesn't matter if you are mm-hmm. still in violation of the law. You're still in violation of the law, no matter what other people are doing.
Yeah, and I think like also you have to remember that, you know. Oh, this person's doing it, so I can do it. That's not true. We need to like take a step back and just look at not society itself, but look at the big picture and really try to look around us so that we can be aware, mm-hmm. you know.
What I want to get to is that like what you were talking about, that because everybody's doing it, we oftentimes ignore what's really the word of God, and then, you know, just follow the crowd. That often happens in the churches, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that's very sad, like going against the word of God, even if you know, but because everybody's going in, oh, this must be right.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, following men is really worthless, and mm-hmm. it's really, we have to follow the word of God.
'Cause at the end, what it all comes down to is, are you going to go to heaven or not?
Yeah, so you're being judged by the word of God.
Yeah.
So, like, why would you listen to other men when you're going to be judged, mm-hmm. standing, you know, right in front of Jesus, mm-hmm. that your book will be opened?
But mm-hmm. it may be the case that, you know, they really don't know what's in here.
Mm.
But then they may have heard it here and there. They're not sure if it's true or not, but they just never check it out.
Mm-hmm.
But they just follow everybody else and because... Mm-hmm. Because everybody else is doing it.
And I think that's a sin, no?
Now, I did come across a man with whom I was giving Bible studies a long time ago. His name was Michael. He was a young guy. I think he was even younger than I was. But he had a little baby, and oof, these babies were very... I don't know if it's too strong to say obnoxious, but I remember I was communicating and talking with him, and... he mentioned something that I thought was very interesting. He said, there are some things that I just don't want to know because I don't want to be held accountable for it. So I really don't want some of these Bible studies because I don't want to be judged in if I know about it.
But that itself is a sin.
I agree. I mean, if you have the opportunity to know, but then you don't do it.
Because you are rejecting God's God's words. Mm-hmm. I heard somewhere in the Bible where, isn't it like once you ignore, once you reject God's word, or when he's trying to give you the light, isn't that like an unpardonable sin?
Yeah, I mean, when we talk about when we cut off the voice of the Holy Spirit too much, eventually comes to a point where we can no longer hear his voice.
So like you're saying, not knowing could be not wanting to know is a sin, like mm-hmm. purposefully. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And let's do a timeout. We've been talking about is ignorance sin, and we mentioned that ignorance is not not knowing anything. Like babies, for example, they don't know anything, but according to scripture, we do have a promise where we don't have to be weeping for our lost babies. However, purposely ignoring something, purposely not wanting to know the gospel because you don't want to be held accountable for it, that is a sin. So just wanted to recap a little.
One thing, and even though they don't know, they are able to search for it. You know, we have the resources here where if you really want to know, and you could just search for it.
And then some people don't know like that they want to know. They don't know that there is such a thing.
Or I want to say this, like, you know, oftentimes in the churches, it happens in the youth, you know, they say, oh, I'm straight with God. I love God. God loves me. You know, I love Jesus. This is great. But then they never read a Bible, even though the Bible mm-hmm. is, you know, up to them. And then they say, oh, I don't have to read the Bible. He loves me. I love him. And that's all I need to know.
Mm-hmm. They think that they are okay because, you know, they're not killing anybody. Mm-hmm. They're not robbing anybody. Mm-hmm. They're not lying to anybody. And so I guess I'm good. I'm a okay person. When in reality, God is trying to convict that person and say, hey, you are a dirty, rotten sinner. Mm-hmm. You need to repent.
Mm-hmm. And Bible just wants us to keep away from the Bible as much as possible, I think.
Bible does?
Satan does.
Satan. What did I say?
Bible.
Oh, the Bible. Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. Satan really wants us he doesn't want us to know the Word of God.
It's kind of like, I want to mention the parking ticket again, because, you know, the woman could have, you know, looked, you know, if she was going to decide, is this right or wrong, and mm-hmm. she saw everyone else doing it, but she could have looked farther and searched for, you know, is there any signs that says it is mm-hmm. wrong?
And there was a perfect parking lot provided there. That means you probably should use it, you know? Uh-huh. Oh,
so, like, she could have searched. I think mm-hmm. that kind of, it's parallel story with people who doesn't look at the Bible. I mean, if in their mind they're like, is this right or wrong? Like, if they mm-hmm. cuss at someone or something, is this right or wrong? They could definitely go to the Bible if they're Christians to see if that is right or wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I think it is their fault for mm-hmm. not going to the scripture and looking for that.
And right now I want to bring up a very controversial issue. Well, okay, so first of all, we know who Gandhi is, right?
Yeah.
Who Gandhi, I saw a movie about him. Why do I bring him up? Is that because, what was his religion? Buddhism?
Hinduism.
Yeah. Okay, well, before believing into Hinduism, I don't exactly remember, but he was a lawyer, right? He was a lawyer. No? But
I don't
okay.
remember.
Okay, yeah, okay.
I think he was some
yeah, he
kind
was,
of...
He was a suit person. He wore a suit and he had, you know, he had that kind of job. Mm-hmm. But then, on the way, while he was traveling, he visited a church, you know? He visited a church and, you know, Christians, and this is a new thing. And then he heard about Jesus, and he thought, wow, Jesus is a, you know, good man. He was a great man. I want to know more about him. So he went to church, and then he saw how people were segregated in different areas. Like, you know, if you're poor, you have to sit in this side. If you're rich, you have to sit on this side. Like, that kind of stuff. And he says, what? This is not what I heard, or this is not what I thought. You know, this this is mm-hmm. not Christianity. This is not true. So he got turned down. So he you know, when he said, you know, Christianity is not my thing. So he left the church. So after that, I don't know what happened, but like we all know that he did not speak of, you know, Jesus, or he did not speak of God or anything.
Well, I think he speaks of Jesus perhaps as a good man.
Yeah, as a good man, yeah. as a good man, but not as like his God or his Savior or Messiah.
It's kind of so, like Jewish yeah. right now, Jewish beliefs of Jesus. They see him as maybe a healer or
prophet.
Yeah. But they don't see him as a Savior, yeah. Yeah. a Redeemer.
And isn't that, you know, kind of, like, I'm not trying to condemn Gandhi, you know, that he mm-hmm. made a wrong decision, but, like, because he looked at the people, he got, you know, turned down, that's why he went back, but we always have to look at, you know, God, mm-hmm. and why do I bring this up is that, like, you know, Jewish people, you know, Old Testament is trying to prove that, you know, Jesus is coming, Jesus is the Messiah, mm. who is going to Messiah, but mm. because of their ignorance and because they do not want to believe, mm. what's coming down to them? Mm. As a nation, they lost, you know, their privilege of being the nation mm. of God.
And mm. I think it is very foolish of us to be discouraged by another human, another proclaiming Christians, because, mm-hmm. I mean, man is man. Everyone's human, they can make mistakes, mm-hmm. and they can, maybe their eyes haven't been fully opened yet. Mm-hmm. And to be discouraged because of man, mm-hmm. I think that's kind of foolish thing to do.
Mm. Yeah, but then that does show a little bit, I don't think that God will hold those church members unaccounted for, or won't hold them accountable, because it does show a little bit about the influence that we can have. If we mm-hmm. wear the name of Christianity and don't actually show it, it can actually testify against Christianity. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's that text in Revelation 3 where, speaking of the Laodiceans, Jesus said, I would rather you be hot or cold. Don't be lukewarm right in the middle. Mm-hmm. I would rather you to be fully Christian or not Christian, call yourself Christian at all, because you're doing more damage.
Yeah, because, mm-hmm. like, if other, you know, non-believers see us and they're like, you know, you guys are hypocrites, mm-hmm. you know? And what is Christianity? They get turned on and then they're like, you know, you guys are just,
Why I don't believe in Christ.
Yeah,
that's
so, like, you're actually being a Christian if you're not doing the right mm-hmm. job, then you're actually advocating Satan instead mm-hmm. of, you know, advocating the church and mm-hmm. Christianity.
And so I don't think that Satan is actually against Christianity. He'll say, yeah, go ahead, become a Christian, just don't nod all the way, because you'll wow. help me more.
That is
so
scary.
Satan is actually in our church,
yeah,
working in our
exactly,
churches.
Exactly, exactly.
Uh-huh. Oh, that is so scary.
But, you know, there's another point that I want to bring out. There's a story of a parable that I heard of a man who was in a flood. Mm-hmm. And he had absolute trust and faith in God, and he, you know, the town was flooding, and somebody knocked on his door and said, "Excuse me, sir, you need to evacuate this place. It's a mandatory evacuation." And the man says, "No, I have trust in God," and they run away. And then another man comes over he comes with a boat, and he says, "Excuse me, sir, the water is up to your waist. You really need to get out of this home, and you have to leave." And he says, "No, I trust my God. I'm going to stay exactly where I am." And then finally, the water is like over his head. He's trying to swim around, and finally a helicopter comes in and says, "Sir, just reach out your hand. Give me your hand. We'll take you out of this house." And he says, no, I'm okay. I have trust in God. I'm going to be okay." And story continues that he ends up dying. And he goes to God and he says, "God, I had trust in you. Why didn't you save me?" And he says, "I did. I sent the man to your door. I sent the boat. I sent the helicopter. You didn't take advantage of any of these things."
Wow,
and so God does work not through miracles and say, this is the truth, walking in it. Yeah. He works through people.
Yes.
He works through people that we mm-hmm. meet every
I've
day.
I've seen that happen a lot. Mm-hmm.
I've had people who come to, whenever I work in a common job or something, I had people come over and witness and give me some literature and things. He works through those people.
So you're not saying like, if I met like Stephen first time, that's not coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
So like God works, so you cannot ignore every, you know, relationship. Exactly. Or every approach that you have. It's something that, oh, you know, maybe this is God's sign, or oh, if this is God's way, we have to always take consider of like, you know, this could be, you know, God's.
And I heard that God works through not only Christians but other people too.
Of course.
Who are not Christians, who are not believers, or who might be, you might think that person's evil, still works through them to make you realize. Or
You know, just a perfect example would be trials. You know, we don't always think of trials to be from God, but a lot of times it's the very trials that will allow us to grow. And we may complain to God, "Well, God, why are you allowing this to happen to me?" Well, a lot of people, I forget exactly who it was. I wish that I remember. I think it was Martin Luther. But a lot of people are complaining about the fact that God is not doing anything when the world is shaking, when in reality what they come to realize is God who is shaking us up so that he can allow us to mature.
Yeah, what I heard is that God, if somebody is going through this, you know, tremendous pain and suffering, and then they pray to God, "Help me." And then what God does, that God does not, you know, instantly take away that pain and suffering. God walks with you through those trials and temptations, so you can have that meaningful, loving, and beautiful character like Christ. And all his
molding
goal, his goal is not because life is not about, you know, not having sufferings or pain
or having perfect life.
Or having perfect life. Because life is about having Christ-like character, being able to know who God is and really partake upon, you know, Christ's sufferings and live a Christian life. God only cares about that. God doesn't really care, like, you know, like, "Oh, I have so much pain or suffering. God, you're not doing really anything." That's, you know, the complaint is not what he cares. What he does care that you are in pain and suffering, and what he wants to do is walk with you through it. Yeah.
I've heard a beautiful story about what a shepherd does when a sheep is going astray. Oftentimes what the shepherd will do, they would snap the leg of the little sheep. And, you know, these are not, easy creatures to carry around. They're not like a little chihuahua. But then he would have to, now that he snapped the leg broke the leg of the sheep, now he has to carry that sheep around every time wherever he goes. And perhaps even feed it directly with his mouth. And he has that intimate moment with him, and through that pain and suffering, he's now able to spend intimate moment with that sheep. And later on, eventually, when the sheep is totally healed, he can let it go and let it walk on its own, and it won't go far away anymore. Now it has that intimate bond with the shepherd.
Because they're, as the shepherd is taking care of the lamb, they're binding together, they're having more close relationship. So like, "Oh, but I want to make sure that breaking of the leg is not God on purpose doing that so you can, you know, have a close relationship. Actually, breaking of the leg is a Satan doing, you know, in this world."
It's kind of funny how God works through Satan to give us trials to mold our character. So some part Satan is doing a good thing.
Like, you know how Adam and Eve sinned at the beginning? So like, but because of the sin, yes, we are going through this pain and suffering. But because of that, he made something more beautiful, which is having more closer relationship with God in the end. Angels do not know what we're going through. Angels, you know, they witness it, but actually, you know, they don't know. They don't have as close relationship with God as much as we do.
That's why, like, I want to emphasize the point again, how we have to have open hearts and open minds. Even though we're going through trials, we should take them as blessings to help us grow and to get a, you know, closer bond with God. And I actually want to go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. Ephesians 4:18. It says, "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." So ignorance happens because of the blindness of your heart. But if you have an open heart and you are willing to really, if you really think God is there, like, you know, be willing and open to accept Him, and then you will be able to see Him, and that ignorance will go away.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I want to go back to the topic of unpardonable sin. Oh. A lot of people think, what is this? Isn't the unpardonable sin, committing adultery, committing murder? But actually, the Bible says that it's not that, right?
Mm, yeah, the Bible specifically, the specific language that the Bible uses is unpardonable sin is a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says you can blaspheme against the Son of Man, but then it'll be forgiven you. But if you blaspheme against Holy Spirit, that cannot be forgiven you.
Blasphemy as in like ignoring Holy Spirit?
The term blasphemy can be taken for a few things. Number one, it can be taken for placing yourself in the place of God, mm-hmm. meaning that I don't care what God says, this is what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. In other words, you are taking the place of God, saying that this is right, this is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Another way you can commit blasphemy is claiming to forgive sins.
Mm-hmm.
there was a time when Jesus healed a paralytic, and the Pharisees standing by said he didn't heal the paralytic. He says, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And the Pharisees listening to him said, "This man commits blasphemy. How can anybody forgive sins but God alone?" And he says, "But you missed one point. Which is easier to say? Either rise up, take up thy couch, and go, or go into your house, or to, say thy sins be forgiven thee." And then he says, "We're going to heal this person so that you would know that I would have the power to forgive sins." So, in that light, blasphemy is claiming to be able to forgive sins.
Mm.
Now, blasphemy, being able to forgive sins in light of Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is the one that actually convicts us of what sin is.
Mm.
Holy Ghost tells us that this is wrong. It's that red light in the back of your rear view mirror telling you, hey, you're in violation of the law.
So you really need Holy Spirit.
Yeah, you really need Holy Spirit. But then if you keep on ignoring the voice of the Holy Spirit and saying, you know what, I'm going to forgive myself of my sin.
Mm.
I'm going to say that this is what the law is. I don't care what the Bible says is the law is. Eventually, there will come a point in your life when you will no longer hear the voice of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And so the more you ignore the voice of the Spirit, eventually comes a point where you can no longer hear the voice of the Spirit convicting you, saying, hey, you are in violation.
Mm.
So it's not that God is not speaking to you. God is still there, and He's still telling you, hey, my child, come. But then you can't
hear
His voice.
It's like, I remember the illustration you told us of, if you take, like, ignoring Holy Spirit, it's like one brick. And then you make a brick, and if you keep on ignoring it, soon you make a wall where you can't even hear the Holy Spirit or see it, or, you know.
I think in detail, like, I think everyone has gone through that. And to be more specific, in my case, like, or in anyone's case, when you're talking to your parents and you get mad at your parents, and they say you yelled and you screamed, and then you shut the door hard and you went to your room after talking to your parents, and now you feel this, you know, guilt kind of thing, even though maybe you didn't do wrong in first place, like they misunderstood you or something. In your mind, you say, there's actual little tiny voice saying, you know, you should go apologize for what you just did.
Your conscience.
This is wrong. Yes, it is your conscience, I think, that is telling you, because in the Bible, it says God has placed something that makes us run away from, be away from sin, kind of thing.
Like, I want you to guys know that this is very important, because, you know, we find that in many churches that, oh, Father is a very important figure, and the Son is a very important figure, but oftentimes they think the Holy Spirit is, oh, just a spirit that you receive when you're worshiping, mm-hmm. or when you're praising, mm-hmm. and then the speakings that you do, and, like, you know, as you pray, like, oh, God, you know, praise the Lord. Like, that, they think, oh, you know, this is the Holy Spirit. But I want to, you know, clarify that for this young people who are watching this right now, that, you know, Holy Spirit actually is more important than whatever that you have during worship. So you're saying, actually, it helps you to discern what is right or wrong.
Yes.
And it helps you to know that this is a sin, this is not, you know, this is a good thing.
And then when you just ignore that, like, go apologize to your parents and you ignore that, you're like, I don't care. Now that is the block. Mm-hmm. And that is.
And eventually, the more blocks you place down, eventually you're going to form a wall.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that the unpardonable sin is the first block. It's not the second block.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the third block. But it's the last block. Finally, you hear there's that one little space where God can speak through you, and he's crying out with all of his heart, saying, my son, you're going to die. Don't do this. And eventually you say, no. And you place that block there. There's no way that the God can even speak to you now.
And you don't know when the last block is coming, right?
You don't know. It's not up to you to decide when the Holy Spirit speaks.
Mm-hmm.
God had appointed to the people in the time of Noah, my spirit will strive with them only for a set amount of time. Beyond that set amount of time, there was no Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
There will eventually come a point when there will be no Holy Spirit speaking to them. And the unpardonable sin is not a type of sin. It's not because you committed murder or suicide. We even have the example of Samson who committed suicide, and the Bible mentions him in Hebrews chapter 11. And so it's not necessarily only about what you actually do, but it's a degree of what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a degree and a severity of sin.
Mm-hmm.
So in conclusion, as we sum everything up, is ignorance sin? Yeah, I think we can say that ignorance, by definition, is not sin. If you don't know, hey, God can't hold you accountable for it.
Mm-hmm.
But then choosing to be ignorant is different than just not knowing at all.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people in indigenous places who never heard the name of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says that there will be people in heaven who will look upon the hands of Jesus and they will say, what are those holes in your hands?
Mm-hmm.
And they have never heard the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But then the Bible says they're going to be in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But there is still another fine line when we go in violation of the help that God sends to us, either
mm-hmm.
through other people, through trials, or whatever it may be. If we ignore that voice, if we ignore those settings and say no, eventually we begin to form a wall between us and God to the point where we may be building a wall that can never be broken down.
Mm-hmm.
But the great news, the good news is at the moment that you hear that voice, bad news is every time that you hear, you place that block down and say no, it gets harder to hear your voice. So it gets
mm-hmm.
harder to respond to that voice of the
mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit. But then even in that still small voice moment where it's very hard to respond, if you heard it and you say, okay, God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to obey what you say. Great news is that entire wall, no matter how high it's been building up, boom, knocked down all
wow.
again. And so great news is, can somebody who is walking towards the direction of unpardonable sin turn around and reform their life? Absolutely. It is absolutely possible.
Mm-hmm.
It's only a danger if we continue to say no, no, no. Because honest truth is that we have no idea when the Holy Spirit will stop speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when we think about what we need to do as young people,
mm-hmm.
we need to remember, whenever we hear the voice of God speaking to our souls, it's not considered to be ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
Because God has given us a voice and told us that this is my voice. It's up to us to respond to that voice.